Acts chapter 16, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to spend just a few minutes as we open up the Scriptures and look at Timothy and his life and testimony. I love looking at character sketches and seeing the life of believers in the Scriptures and to see how God used them and how He prepared them and how in faithfulness they served the Lord Jesus Christ and Timothy from his youth. And I said it will be short, and however, my phone has disappeared. So if you see it down there on that row. If you take your Bibles and turn to Acts 16, I want to read the Scriptures I want to read the Scriptures from where we have been reading in Acts chapter number 16. And the reason why I have invited you there is because this is the portion of Scripture where Timothy is first introduced to us in the life and the history of the New Testament church. It says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed by but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight in the preaching of your word. I pray that we would be encouraged and inspired from this man, Timothy, this protege of the Apostle Paul, who was a young man who tirelessly gave himself to the work of the ministry. I pray, Father, that we would be inspired to live lives that are worthy of emulation, like Paul exhorted Timothy to watch his life and his doctrine, to watch how he lived and what he believed, and knowing that he would be an example to the believers. I pray, Father, that we would see from the life of Timothy not only the importance of his family that we looked at last time and the discipleship of his mother and his grandmother being raised without a believing father and likely without a father even in his life, likely to be passed away. And yet Paul became a spiritual father to him and brought him up and taught him to be diligent about the work of the ministry to which God had called him. I pray even tonight, though all of us are not called to be pastors or evangelists, that all of us could learn from the life of Timothy and his dedication and his boldness for the cause of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The life of Timothy is one that, to me, is one of the most interesting and the most inspiring in all of the New Testament. You might say that's an interesting statement, and yet for me as a pastor, it's one of particular note because the two pastoral epistles that bear his name carry much instruction for the life and work of the ministry of God's preachers, of God's pastors. And this is the book of 1 and 2 Timothy are written by the Apostle Paul, addressed to Timothy, a young preacher in the faith, a young minister of the gospel, and they're filled with wisdom and instruction and guidance on how they, how a minister is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Two Sundays ago, we looked at the importance of Timothy's family background. We don't know exactly when and how Timothy's mother and grandmother were converted, but we know that they were, and we know that they were devout women, the same kind of reference that is used in the book of Acts for devout men who were Gentiles who had, or they were Jews. She had a Gentile husband, and they were devoted to the things of God and devoted to the waiting for their Messiah. And they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the time that Timothy was a young man, they taught him the scriptures, which it says were able to make him wise unto salvation. The first aspect of this that I've already spoken about, I just want to briefly mention. Remember the importance of family discipleship. Even if you are a single parent, even if you are the only one that is discipling your children, even if you are the only believing parent in your household, do not neglect the importance of teaching your children the scripture, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We see in 2 Timothy in chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verses 3 through 5, Paul writing to Timothy, and he reminds him of his background and his faith. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul is as a father would be for his children. He's praying for him night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the unadulterated, the pure faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Those verses maybe could be just read over very easily in the introduction of a book of the Bible, and yet you need to grab a hold of those and realize Paul is giving testament to the priority of a Deuteronomy chapter 6 kind of mindset of discipling our sons and daughters in the faith. That this is, we could put it in this context, the daily walk and talk, the daily rising up and lying down and walking in the way that you have with your children is really where the main emphasis of discipleship is in the scripture. We come together as a body to worship and to praise the true and the living God. We come to be informed and equipped, but it has to be carried out in your families. It has been said that in the last 200 years, one of the greatest things that brought destruction to Christian homes is the relinquishing of the responsibility of parents to disciple their children. They began to give it over to the ministries of the church, and those ministries may be well-intended, and they may have purposefulness if we have them in a right perspective as helping to encourage what parents are already doing. But it's the problem is when parents think, well, I'll just have my kids in the children's ministries and they'll take care of all the Christianity kind of stuff in my children's life and we'll just go on living our life as normal. That is, as one preacher said, stinking thinking, right? That is bad thinking. That is improper thinking about the role of family discipleship. Day by day by day, you are to teach your children the Word of God. You're to teach them it in principle. You're to read the scriptures to them line by line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, building them up in the most holy faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul also writes to Timothy, and he reminds him yet again about the faith that was in his life. This Timothy was a product of family discipleship. He says in verse number 15 of chapter 3, he says, and that, verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I think it's a powerful statement from the Apostle Paul. Here he is, one counts Timothy as a son in the faith, and yet he doesn't take the credit for all of the training of Timothy. He reminds him of his roots. He reminds him of the influence of his mother and his grandmother. And he says, remember that unfeigned faith. Remember the scriptures which you were taught, which were able to make you wise unto salvation. I'll leave you with practical principle with regards to family discipleship. The key ingredient is the Word of God. You don't have to do something fancy. You don't have to have a church service at home. You don't have to, you know, line everybody up in rows and give them, you know, everybody their hymnal in order of service and their family bulletin for the night and say, now let's all listen together. You don't have to do anything extraordinary. Just sit around the living room or the dining room table and open up the Word of God and share a portion of Scripture. And as the kids can read, it's great to let them read the Scripture along with you and then talk about what they've learned. And then pray and sing a song. And you can do more than that. You can read good Bible stories that would supplement that. You can read Bible storybooks or the greatest story or whatever the names of the books that might help to kind of summarize the story of Scripture. But don't neglect the Word of God. It's simple. All it takes is our time. All it takes is our life to invest in our children, and it is worth it. We need to pray also that we would raise up Timothy's and whatever the feminine form of the name Timothy would be, right? We need to raise boys and girls that are lovers of God so that they would be raised up to do and accomplish great things for the Lord. And Timothy was not only a product of family discipleship, but he was a faithful protege of the Apostle Paul. He was a faithful son in the work of the ministry. This is something that we looked at when we were in Acts chapter number 16. So I'm not going to belabor the point, but to say this, Paul counted Timothy as a son, a spiritual son. There is an intimate relationship. Now you think about this in the culture that we live in. Frequently within churches, people are attending something like they're going to an event. You go in for your portion of time and you leave. You have had your entertainment session, you have had your spiritual session, and then you leave. There's no connection with the body life of the church. One person was visiting this morning and after the service looked around and saw everybody just talking and they said, "What are we doing now?" And I simply said, this is just people who love each other and care for one another, and they're just talking to one another, maybe praying for each other, and showing concern as a family would do. And then, if you stay around long enough, you realize that an hour later, there's still a bunch of people doing that. That is because it's something beautiful. We're a family, and Paul treated Timothy as a son in the faith, as a spiritual son. Obviously, I think that there's a likelihood that there is an age gap as well between Paul and Timothy, and there were father-son kind of age gap. We don't have specific ages in the Scripture. We know that Timothy was a young man and fervent to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul took him under his wing, and he invested in him like a father would do. You can imagine that there was many wonderful things that his grandmother and his mother taught him, but not having a godly father, or a father at all, potentially, the language is a high chance that he was passed away in Acts chapter number 16, that he wasn't even alive. You can imagine that there were things that were missing in his training. There were things that a man could teach Timothy that his mother and grandmother, though try as they may, maybe didn't have all the gaps filled. And yet Paul invested in him, and he calls him his own son. He says, Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He counted him as a beloved son. This is made mention of multiple times. You know, if you were, as a son, there is something that every son wants to hear from his father, isn't there? Your dad may not even be a believer, and you still have a hunger and a desire that your father would be proud of you, that your father would be thankful that you're his son, that there would be some kind of an indication. And Timothy received that from the Apostle Paul. In chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, O Timothy, keep that which I have committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. There's advice and counsel. Having my father pass away a little over 2 years ago, there's still times where I wished I could pick up the phone and call. I know many of you have had the same kind of circumstance in your father's or your mother's have passed, and you can't reach out to them anymore. And how we would long to. Timothy had found that kind of relationship with the Apostle Paul, that kind of care and concern for his life, that kind of investment that was made. And I know he was grateful. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong." You're going to do a great work, Timothy. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Continue in this. Be encouraged. Know that I love you. Know that I care. And be strong. Be steadfast. Raising sons, as many of you are doing, we do it, we're in this together. Your sons get older and they're becoming men, and you long for and desire for them not to make, at least I do, not to make the same dumb mistakes you made, and for them to have greater success than you had, not necessarily just in the worldly sense, but in spiritual things, that they would be victorious over areas where you were weak. You want them to be strong. You pray over them to be strong in the Lord, to stand strong in the faith. When they leave for the day, or when they're going out to accomplish a task, there is a hope that they would remain strong, because there are fiery darts that are being flown at them from the wicked one all over the place. This is not only true for your sons, your daughters. This is true for Timothy. He was in a warfare. He was in a battle for the sake of the gospel. And he had a father in Paul who loved him. We find this as well in 1 Thessalonians and the book of Romans, many different places. We'll look at one more here in just a little while. But Paul was faithful as a son to the Apostle Paul. Excuse me, Timothy was faithful as a son to the Apostle Paul. I want you to see also three elements of Paul's instructions to Timothy with regards to the work of the ministry. These are things that if you are here tonight, maybe as a young man, you desire to be a pastor, you desire to do the work of the ministry, or any young man or young lady, there can be principles drawn from these three things that were given to Timothy, but specifically for him as a young minister of the gospel. These were the areas where he needed to focus his attention. He needed to be proved with these things. It wasn't a list of all the ways that he could build up his reputation. The instructions weren't on how to do ministry in a really cool and hip way. Paul didn't say, "Hey, Timothy, the day and age which we live, you know, we're trying to reach into the Roman world, we're trying to reach into the Greek world. You know how they don't like that Jewish stuff from down there. We need to make sure that we have something really cutting edge." That wasn't the instructions. It didn't sound like going to a typical kind of a pastoral conference in our day, which a lot of them are about, kind of how to be hip and cool in the culture to reach them better. Paul taught Timothy differently. He taught Timothy to be a faithful minister of the gospel in three specific ways. There's probably more than this, but first, to be given to personal discipleship and equipping of believers. This is something that I believe is applicable to women as well. You want to take a better example. Titus chapter 2 is a better example for older women teaching the younger women and discipling them in the things of God. But Paul taught Timothy, if you're going to be a faithful minister of the gospel, if you're going to be used effectively, you must be engaged in the personal equipping of followers of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Okay, that's the admonition I just read you about Paul to Timothy with regards to his sonship. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul instructed Timothy, if he's going to be effective in the work of the ministry, he needs to be given to take in the things that he has learned, to give it to others, and as he gives it to others, that they would be trained up so that they could teach others also, so that the process of discipling or equipping the saints could be continued, could be furthered. This passage of Scripture is kind of the theme verse for the school of ministry. And it really should be a theme for all of the ministry of the church as we want to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Paul taught Timothy, if you're going to be a faithful pastor, if you're going to be a faithful minister of Christ, teach others the things that you know and teach them how to do the work of the ministry so that it might be further. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. This is the things that he has learned. This is sound doctrine. Much of the instruction in Timothy deals with the importance of sound doctrine. Paul's teaching throughout the New Testament in the Pauline epistles, the epistles to Rome, the epistle to Ephesus, the epistle to Colossae, the epistle to the church at Philippi or the church at Galatia, they're filled with deep, rich doctrinal truth that had been taught to the churches that Paul ministered to. I hope that when you read the New Testament, I hope that when you read the book of Romans and you see the depth that Paul goes with regards to the importance of salvation or the understanding the depths of sin and their need of a Savior and what Christ has done and how to have victory over that sin, I hope you understand that that was for a particular local church in its first context. The instructions of the church in the book of Ephesians, that was the instructions to the church at Ephesus. And it was deep, rich doctrine. That's the same kind of doctrine that needs to be taught in churches today. It's important that we don't just have a mentality of kind of a really light and refreshing and, you know, spiritually cool kind of flavor in the church. God does not want us to give happy meals for Jesus and little trick toys that people leave every Sunday and just feeling like they've had their, you know, they've had their fancies met. They've had their, you know, their desires met. They need to be taught sound doctrine. That's what Paul taught Timothy to do. He says, the things you have heard of me among many witnesses in Rome and Ephesus and Philippi and all the other places that you ministered along with me, those things I want you to commit to faithful men. Faithful men who will do something with it. Faithful men are those who are counted upon. Faithful men are those who are steadfast. You could say faithful women are the same. Faithful women who are sound in their belief, who are steadfast in the faith, and who desire to minister the grace of God to others. And it says this, who shall be able to teach others also? What is discipleship? What is the work of the church? Why do we come here on Sundays? It's not just so that we can come and be filled up for our own personal edification for the week and then go about doing our own business. It is that, but it's more than that. It's really about the congregation being equipped so that they could do the work of the ministry. That work of the ministry happens Monday when you go to work. It happens when you are in your neighborhood on Tuesday evening and you have an opportunity to reach out to your neighbors, having them over for a barbecue. It happens when you are living your life, as you're serving and remembering that you are here not just to be another citizen of the world. You are here as a part of the kingdom of Christ, and your king wants you to be his servant everywhere you go. And you have a message that changes people's lives, a message that if you love people, you will share. It is the message of the gospel. Paul told Timothy to spend his time equipping faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, who will be able to propagate the truth and the message of the gospel. That is something that needs to be our focus. He also taught him in these passages to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We like Christianity comfortable, don't we? Hello? Are you all there tonight? We like it to be comfortable. We don't like it to cause us to be dislodged from our pattern of life. And yet Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It means if you're going to do things in the ways that please the Lord, sometimes it's not going to be easy. Soldiers are prepared for war. Soldiers are prepared for battle. And we need to be a people that are equipped, that are discipled, so that we would be ready to war a good warfare for the cause of Christ. Paul taught the church at Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. It wasn't so that we could just like put it on and come to church and look cool. It was because we're in a battle. We're at war. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world against spiritual wickedness in high places. But it takes preparation. It takes battling. And you're battling over the souls of men. You're battling over the souls of your children. You're to give yourself wholly to the discipleship of others, beginning in your own home and then to the people that you come in contact with as believers. Even in the church, as new people come to faith in Christ, some of you who've been saved for 20 years, you need to have people that you are ministering to and helping to build up. This life is not just about you. It's not even just about your family. It's about you investing in others. Number next, Timothy was called to be a faithful preacher of the word. I won't belabor the verses, but they are some of my favorite in all of the scriptures. Timothy was called to faithfully minister the word of God. Preaching is something that for a Christian, I hope it's something you are encouraged by. I hope it's something you look forward to. I hope it's something you pray for to be impactful in the lives of others and in your own life. But honestly, the world doesn't think too well of preaching. Even many who profess to know Christ think that preaching is outdated and outmoded and should be changed to something different. And the scripture says that would happen. In fact, in the New Testament, we find that that is true. Paul taught Timothy, and he charged him with a solemn charge. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with it. They want to be told nice, pleasant things. You're so wonderful. You are. I love you. You say, I didn't come here to get beat up. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm talking about the kind of mentality that is really more about health, wealth, and prosperity, kind of the everything's wonderful, every day's a Friday mentality. You know, you're so wonderful, you just couldn't get any better. You don't even need Jesus practically. That's a lie from the pit. We need the Word of God. We need to preach the Word of God faithfully. We need to be, as ministers of the gospel, instant, in season. I'm going to put a little spin on this, and it really is—it's not out of accuracy. It's not lacking accuracy. To be instant in season is when it's popular, when it's pleasant, when you're with the hometown crowd, when people are saying amen. Sorry, I just give a long pause. When people are with you. When you know that you're preaching to the hometown crowd, we need to be faithful still to preach the word of God that still sometimes will stomp on toes a little bit, still sometimes will be as when the word of God goes forth, it's like a sword. It pierces and divides asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow of the heart. But there's a need to be faithful even when it's out of season, even when it's not popular. When you're preaching and the tomatoes are being thrown, when even worse, the stones are being thrown, and you are in the place of the Apostle Paul, and you're facing great consequence for the sake of the gospel. Do you understand that there are Christian preachers today that aren't in the midst of a congregation who's glad that they're preaching? They're in the place where they are at odds with everyone that is around them. And this doesn't just happen, unfortunately, only in the world. Sometimes it happens when people in the church get their mind and their heart on things that aren't right. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want clean, pure truth. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Unto falsehoods. That is dangerous. Paul admonished Timothy, be a faithful preacher of the Word of God, because it's what the people need, even if they don't want it. And lastly, Timothy was a faithful protector of the flock. This is particularly applicable. I think if you're a parent, you understand this principle. In the book of Thessalonians, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says that the ministers of the gospel are to be like loving mothers who nourish and cherish their children, who nurse them, who tenderly care for them. It also says they're to be like fathers who admonish their children. Fathers are different than mothers. Mothers are different than fathers. They're both needed. And in the ministry, there's to be a mothering kind of role and a fathering kind of role with regards to how people are helped. A father's role is to protect, as well as a mother. But I think as far as a general rule, the father is to take that lead role in protecting his family. And a pastor is to be that way over the flock. We're not to be lords over God's heritage, we're admonished by Peter. Meaning, this is not a little kingdom. At the same time, there is authority given to the elders of the church to protect the flock. Because wolves come in, and wolves don't need to be pet. You don't take them in and cuddle them. Wolves are chased out. Wolves are hit with sticks and stones. Now, I'm speaking metaphorically here, right? Wolves aren't to be coddled. Beloved, there are wolves all over the place. As parents, you need to understand the wolves are not just people who come through the front door. There are wolves spiritually and in every other kind of way that are trying to get to the hearts and minds of your children, and they're doing it when they're in their bedroom, on their computer, that you don't have enough control over, that shouldn't be in their bedroom anyway. You say, that's an opinion. I know, and I'm giving it, all right? Right? Because you care. Protect them. Guard them. We see what kind of influence is coming. Nothing's. They love the Lord. They're doing right. Like, hour upon hour can go by where they're being influenced by outside sources, both religiously as well as from humanism and evolution and all kinds of things. And godly influences of all kinds. You have to guard them. You have to protect them. Just like you wouldn't allow people through the front door, you have to protect them. And the same is true in the church. You realize we live in the day of information. You can get information from all different kinds. Basically, anything you could imagine as far as a belief is concerned, you can go online and find somebody who agrees with you. I mean, it can be the greatest form of lunacy ever, and there is already a religion that has been formed around that principle. Now, that's a pretty broad statement, and I'm exaggerating a little bit. Understand, everything out there under the sun is not good and healthy for you. And if you bring some truth that is false, you bring some heresy, and you say, what do you think of this, pastor? Isn't this wonderful? And the pastors of the church say, no, it's heresy. That was dealt with in the 3rd century, and this is why we don't believe it. This has already come up multiple times in the history of the church, and it's wrong. There's all kinds of things that people can grab a hold of that are false. And a pastor who loves the flock is to be one who protects them, just like a father protects his family from error. Right? We need to have that heart. Timothy was taught that from the Apostle Paul, to protect the sheep. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and of a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. They've made shipwreck of their lives. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, that doesn't sound very warm and comforting. Paul says, these are ones, remember, who taught error, and we delivered them over to Satan, because of their blasphemy. We discipline them in the church because of error. What is that? Is that unloving? Is that unkind? No, it's the most loving thing you can do. Is it unloving to protect your children from the onslaught of the enemy? No, it's wisdom. It's love. Paul teaches Timothy this importance of protecting the flock in multiple passages. Read another one in 2 Timothy 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Excuse me, I read the wrong verse. That I may be filled with joy. That's still true. But verse number 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. He's not talking about the form of proper pronunciation. He's talking about holding fast the truth, the form of sound words, of sound doctrine. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That the good thing which I has committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Stand strong in sound doctrine. Stand strong in the truth. As a Christian, if you know sound doctrine, and you've been built up in the most holy faith, I would encourage you, with love and a spirit of kindness, be on guard for people bringing an error into the church. Be on guard for your children when they bring to you false doctrines that they have received from the internet or from some resource around in their life, maybe some Bible study at school or whatever it might be, and they've bitten on to some falsehood. Be loving enough, be caring enough to protect them and drive away the wolves. Do your best to do so. Last verse I'll read is from Philippians chapter number 2. And we'll be done. Philippians chapter number 2. In the book of Philippians, Paul is unable to come to the church at Philippi at this time. Next week, we're going to see the beginnings of the establishment of the church at Philippi. It begins with two women. I'm excited to preach on the importance of Lydia and the damsel who are both converted in Acts chapter number 16. I'm excited, and hopefully my desire is to encourage the faithful women of our church to be inspired with how God desires to use you in the work of the ministry. But here is the church at Philippi sometime later, and there's admonishments to the church at Philippi in many different facets, including some for those women who were the first members of the church at Philippi. But here he comes to the latter part and he says, I desire to come to you, but I can't right now. In verse number 19, the scripture reads, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Timothy was there the very first time that they entered into Philippi. For I have no man, notice what he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's a pretty bold statement. Church is having some struggles. People desiring the preeminence, something similar to what is dealt with in the book of 3 John. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Paul, in desiring to protect the church at Philippi, desiring to come and to instruct in some areas of error and need, he says, I'm sending Timotheus. I'm unable to come myself, but I'm sending Timotheus, and I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your souls, who will naturally guard and protect you as a father doth his children, who will naturally love and encourage you like a nursing mother does her children. Timothy's life is an example to all of us. It's an example of a life that's been influenced from the time of his youth as a product of faithful family discipleship from his mother and his grandmother. I'm inspired by that continually. And throughout my tenure in ministry at this church, I've tried to bring that up on a regular basis to be an encouragement to those who maybe don't have a believing husband and you're doing it on your own. Or maybe you are a single parent and you think it's a discouraging thing. I don't have the kind of the best in the sense of a nuclear household. And yet God wants you to know it's not a lost cause. There's a faithful God in heaven who is our Father, and he wants you to raise up Timothy's and young ladies who would be like a Timothy as far as their love and their walk with the Lord. Do not give up hope. Timothy, we see as a faithful protege of the Apostle Paul, a son in the ministry, invested in by faithful Christian men. Timothy, a faithful pastor, devoted to personal discipleship. He was diligent about the equipping of the saints. Timothy, a faithful preacher of the word, one who you could count on in season and out of season too, as best as he could, preached the word of God without apology, even when it wasn't popular. And Timothy, a faithful protector of the flock, one who, as a faithful shepherd, one who could stand in the place of the Apostle Paul with a like-mindedness, a desire to protect the flock from error, from the advances of the enemy, so that lives would not be made shipwreck. I pray that we could learn tonight from the life of Timothy and be inspired, be encouraged by his faithfulness and the equipping that he had from the Apostle Paul, and recognize that God desires to use you as well. And I pray particularly for those who maybe have a desire even for the ministry, that they would recognize that the work of the Lord is not for the weak. It's for those who've been made strong in the power of Christ, and it is a work that is not always easy. I know some people, I've heard of those who desire to do the work of the ministry because they don't like a job with heavy lifting. You know what? They don't understand what real ministry is about. It may not be the same as working on a construction site as far as the physical labor or something of that nature, but the reality of having to deal with hard things is the normative, not the exception. It is required that you be faithful, good soldiers of Christ Jesus. It's required, really, all of us should desire that as we serve the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight in the teaching of your word. I pray that your people would be encouraged to be faithful. I pray that we would be faithful about the business of family discipleship, of discipling and equipping of the saints, those older women, women in our congregation that would desire to disciple the younger women, the older men discipling the younger men, that we would have a real desire to be equipped to do the work of the ministry that happens 24/7, 365. I pray, Father, that as a church we would be strengthened and encouraged through the preaching of the word, that we would never desire to have our ears tickled, but that we would desire for the sound words, the truth of Scripture, to be brought to bear on our hearts and minds. I pray in particular, Lord, that as a preacher of the word, that you would help me not to skirt around hard issues, but you'd help me to line upon line, precept upon precept, preach the whole counsel of God. Lord, I want to be found faithful to you, and I want to set forth a good example to those young men that are desirous of being pastors in the future. And I pray, Father, that you would also help us to be protectors, protectors of our family, protectors of the truth of the Word of God, protectors of the flock, called Westside Baptist Church. Lord, please be with all those who are ministering in this place. Help us to diligently seek to protect so that the lives of those around us would not be made shipwrecked concerning the faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.